Thank you for listening to the Shanghai Community Fellowship Podcast. To find out more about the SCF community, listen to sermons, and upcoming events, visit us at shanghaifellowship.org.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. I thank the Lord for the privilege to share the word of God with you today. And I believe that the Lord will speak to our heart as we go into study his word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given us, Lord, to come together, Lord, to study your word and to receive from you. Lord, I pray that you speak to our heart. Lord, I pray, Lord, that our lives, Lord, will be transformed as we're going to hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for transforming our lives again today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So today we're going to continue the series of land that we started a couple of weeks ago. And the theme of today's talk, the theme of today's message, is the spring of our awakening. And the sub-theme is, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. And my dad was a pastor, so we're going to church. And I gave my life to the Lord at a very young age. Got baptized as well. So we're going to church, and you know, at that time, I was very spiritually mature. And instead of seeking to grow in the Lord, instead of seeking to become more like Jesus, I was backsliding. I was going back to the Word. I was living a double life. So I'll go to church on Sunday, but throughout the week, I'll live a worldly life at school. And I was also involved in worldly rap music. But my dad didn't know about it. And when he found out, he was very disappointed and it created tension at home. So I told him that I was going to stop. But you know what? I didn't stop. I continued secretly. And my dad found out again about it, that I continued doing worldly rap music. So he was very disappointed. And I even remember that day that he called me to the living room to have that talk with my mom and I. And seeing them that disappointed, it made me very sad. So I told them that I was going to stop, and this time I did stop. And the Lord also used that moment to open my eyes to the worldly life that I was living. So a transformation started to take place in my life, a shift started to take place in my life, and I was now returning to the Lord. And I did return to the Lord. You know, asking the Lord to open the eyes of our heart, it's a very important prayer to make. Because when the eyes of our hearts are closed, or when we are blind in our heart, there is confusion, there is defeat. When we are blind in our heart, or when the eyes of our hearts are closed, we are heading towards destruction. Is there any of you who would dare crossing a road with your eyes closed? Or driving a car, or riding a bicycle, or riding an e-bike with your eyes closed? I'm sure no one would do that. Why? Because it's so dangerous. But you know, having the eyes of our hearts closed, or being blind in our heart, it's even much more dangerous than that. And in fact, Jesus speaking, talking to one of the seven churches in Revelation, talking to the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, I'm gonna read. He says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salt to put on your eyes, so you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. So here we see Jesus was about to spit this church out of his mouth. And one of the things that Jesus wasn't happy about our church was that that church was blind. And he asked them at the end to repent. So being blind in our heart or having the eyes of our hearts closed, it's very, very dangerous. And I pray that the eyes of your heart will always be open in Jesus' name. So which kind of heart are we talking about here? What does it mean, the eyes of our heart? As you may already know, we're not talking about the physical heart. We're not talking about the heart that pumps blood. But we are talking about the spiritual heart. We are talking about the core of who you are. We are talking about your inner man. God has created the human being in such a way that a human being is a spirit having a soul living in a body. So you and I, we are made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. That's why the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, he says that, may the God of peace sanctify you wholly. May your spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I, we are made up of a spirit, a soul, and a body. And a spirit is that part of you that is directly connected to the Lord when you give your life to Christ. It's that part of you that fellowships with God. That part of you that receives from God. That part of you that becomes one with the Lord when you give your life to Jesus. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. And the soul is the combination of the will, the mind, and the emotions." So the will, the mind, and the emotions, they make up what the Bible calls the soul. And you can read the different verses that would appear on the screen. And the body, obviously, is that external part that you see in the mirror. That's external part of you that is in contact with the physical world. Now, when the Bible talks about the heart, sometimes it refers to the soul, sometimes it refers to the spirit. So the heart is a combination of the soul and the spirit. So when we ask the Lord to open the eyes of our heart, in other words, we are asking him to open our spiritual eyes so that we are not spiritually blind anymore. And spiritual blindness, or being spiritually blind, simply put, is the inability to see God, the inability to see Jesus. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the light. We read in John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." So when someone is spiritually blind, that person is unable, that person is not able to see Jesus with the light. So therefore, that person walks in darkness, meaning that that person walks in disobedience towards God. So someone who is spiritually blind walks in disobedience towards God. Someone who is spiritually blind live a life of disobedience towards God. And spiritual blindness is the condition in which people who haven't given the life to the Lord or unbelievers find themselves in. You can read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 4, and Acts 26, verse 16 to 18. But you know, spiritual blindness can also attack believers. Spiritual blindness can also attack Christians because of their own choices, like we've seen with the church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3. Because even when you give your life to the Lord, God doesn't take away your free will. He gives you the desire to do his will, but it's still up to you to choose to continue to follow him. So we need to be careful. Like the Apostle Paul was saying, that if you think that you're standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. So we've seen that spiritual blindness is the condition in which unbelievers or people who haven't given their lives to the Lord yet already find themselves in. And we have also seen that spiritual blindness can also attack Christians or believers because of their own choices. But how does it happen? How does a Christian become spiritually blind? We'll learn from scriptures that a Christian becomes spiritually blind when he or she gives place to sin in his life. When he or she nourishes sin in his life. Because sin is the cause of spiritual blindness. For example, we read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 11, it says, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So we see here that because of hatred, which is a sin, the person who walks in it, the person who makes it a habit in his life, becomes spiritually blind. So in other words, the person who gives place to sin in his life, the person who nourishes sin in his life, becomes spiritually blind. Because sin is the cause of spiritual blindness. And you know, sin is very destructive. Sin breaks fellowship with God. A couple can still be married, but they are not in good terms anymore. They are not in fellowship anymore. And if they don't reconcile, what will eventually happen? There will be divorce. And it is the same with God. Cherishing sin leads us away from God. A Christian should hate sin. A Christian should look at sin like trash, like something very disgusting. Because indeed, sin is very disgusting. God loves you, but he doesn't love sin. And because he loves you, he has made everything available for you not to live a life of sin, but to live a godly life. And we read in 2 Peter chapter 2, or chapter 1, sorry, verse 3a, it says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. So if a Christian persists in sin and doesn't repent, not only that he or she will become spiritually blind, but even more than that, he or she will be separated eventually from God, will eventually be separated from God, because he or she would have chosen to reject God by his life of sin. So is there a sin that has dominion over your life? Is there a sin that is repetitive in your life? I pray that the Lord will help you to overcome in Jesus' name. So sin is the cause of spiritual blindness. But God doesn't want you to be blind. God's desire for each one of us is that the eyes of our heart may be open. Is that the eyes of our heart may always be open. So what should we do so that the eyes of our heart may always be open? What is our responsibility? I'd like us to turn to John chapter 9, verse 35 to 41. I'm going to read. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, for judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, are we also blind? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. So here we read the story of a man who was born blind. And Jesus entering through the gates of the temple comes across that man. And Jesus miraculously healed that man. And this man also happened to be a beggar. So Jesus miraculously opened his eyes. And in the previous verses, we read how Jesus opened the eyes of that man who was born blind. And how the neighbors of that man, most likely the other beggars, and other people as well were now questioning, were now asking, but isn't the man who used to be blind? And the man was insisting, yeah, it's me. And they even brought that man to the Pharisees. The Pharisees that were supposed to give some kind of divine explanations on how is it possible that this man can now see, because this miracle has never been heard of in Israel. As this man mentioned in the previous verses, when you read the previous verses. There was no one in the Old Testament who has ever opened the eyes of a man who was born blind. So the Pharisees hear the testimony of that man, of his neighbors. And as for the Pharisees, this Jesus is a sinner. So they reject the testimony of that man. They reject the testimony of his neighbors. And as this man believes that Jesus is a prophet, So they eventually throw these men out of the building, out of the temple, out of the life of Israel. And Jesus finds this man. Jesus was certainly looking for him. And as this man believes in Jesus, Jesus opens his spiritual eyes. So this man didn't only get his physical eyes open, but he also got his spiritual eyes open as this man believed in Jesus. And on the other hand, the Pharisees remained spiritually blind because they refused to admit that they were spiritually blind. They would insist that they could see. So they remained spiritually blind because they refused to believe in Jesus like this blind man, this man who used to be blind, did. So we've asked earlier, what should we do so that the eyes of our heart may always be open? What is our responsibility? Well, for the eyes of our heart to always be open, we need to believe in Jesus like this man who used to be blind, did. We need to believe in Jesus so that the eyes of our heart may be open and always be open. And here we're not talking about believing only once. It's not a matter of only believing once. It's not like someone may say that 10 years ago I believed in the Lord Jesus and that's it. But it's a matter of continuing to believe in Jesus. It's a matter of continuing to trust in Jesus, to trust Jesus with our lives. Because we learn from the scriptures that we are saved, we are being saved, and we'll be saved. That's why we read passages such as Romans chapter 13. Beside this, you know the time that the hour has come for you to wake up from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So here the Apostle Paul talking to the Romans believers, he was telling them about a future salvation, though they were already saved when they first believed. So we have been saved, we are being saved, and we'll be saved. So we need to continue to believe in Jesus. We need to continue to trust in Jesus. We need to continue to trust Jesus with our lives. We need to continue to put our trust in Jesus. And because we believe in Jesus, because we trust in Jesus, because we have a relationship with Jesus, we need to walk in the light. Because if we say that we believe in Jesus, the way that we live should demonstrate it. The way that we live should show that we believe in Jesus, that we trust in Jesus. So because we trust in Jesus, because we believe in Jesus, we have to walk in the light. We have to live as children of light. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light." So here the Apostle Paul was basically telling the Ephesians believers that you were once children of darkness. You were once unbelievers. But now that you've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, now that you have given your life to the Lord, now that you've become children of God, children of light, you need to live as children of light. So what does it mean to live as children of light? Today we're going to talk about a couple of things regarding living as children of light. Children of light imitate God. Children of light imitate God the Father. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. It says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children." So children of God imitate God the Father. People around you should be able to see the character of God in you. People around you should be able to see Jesus in you. If you were to ask your colleagues at work, your classmates at school, or your spouse at home, what would be the testimony about you? Are you also involved in the things of this world like the unbelievers are? Are you also watching things on the internet that you're not supposed to watch? Are you also cheating on your wife? Or you're different? So children of light imitate God. People should be able to see the character of God in you. And it's not possible to imitate God if you don't spend time with Him. Because the more you spend time with someone, the more you receive the influence of that person. And it is the same with God. So we need to spend time with God if we want to be able to imitate Him. We need to spend time with God in prayer. You know, we should never be negligent about prayer. Because prayer is so essential in the life of a believer. We need to be people who pray. We need to have a life of prayer. We need to take prayer very seriously. So if you want to imitate God, we need to spend time with Him in prayer. We need to spend time with Him in His Word. Spending time with Him in His Word, getting to know Him through His Word. Are you someone who only reads the Word of God on Sunday, or you are someone who is daily in the Word of God? So if you want to be able to imitate Him, we need to spend time with Him in prayer, spending time with Him in His Word, spending time with Him in worship. And you don't have to have a nice voice to worship the Lord. Just use the voice that you have and spend time worshiping the Lord. If it helps, put some worship music in your room and just worship the Lord. Develop that habit to worship the Lord in your room. So if you want to be able to imitate God, we need to spend time with Him in prayer, spend time with Him in His Word, spend time with Him in worship. And the more we spend time with Him, the more we'll be able to imitate Him. So children of light, imitate God. Imitate God the Father. Children of light, love sacrificially like Jesus loves. When people criticize you, when someone has done something bad against you, how do you respond? When someone has wronged you, what is your response? How do you respond to that? Are you someone who seeks to repay evil? Are you someone who keeps records of wrongs? Or you are someone who forgives? And you know, the love that the Bible talks about, it's not just emotions. It goes beyond emotions. It's a decision of the will out of obedience for God. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7, it says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith. Love is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. So children of light love sacrificially, like Jesus loves. And lastly for today, children of light flee from sin. Children of light stay away from sin. How is your thought life like? Are you someone who glorifies the Lord in the things that you spend time thinking about throughout the day? What do you do in the secret when nobody sees you? When you're alone in your room, are you still glorifying God in the things that you do? When there is no Christian around you, how do you behave? Children of light flee from sin. Children of light stay away from sin. They see sin from far and they flee from it. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3 to 6, it says, let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes. There are some jokes that Christians shouldn't make. These are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person would inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey Him. So children of light, flee from sin. And as we conclude for today, I'd like us also to read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. It says, for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So today's message is a call to be awakened. I don't know how you've been living your Christian life, but the Lord wants you to be awakened. And if you have failed in your walk with the Lord, it's not too late to repent. And repenting means a change of mind. So if you were walking this direction towards sin, now you walk the opposite direction towards God. You give your back to sin. So it's not too late to repent. God wants you to be awakened. God wants you to always have the eyes of your heart open. God wants you to continue to believe in Him, to continue to trust in Him by walking in the light, by living as children of light. And as you surrender to Him, as you submit to Him, He will help you to do so. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your message to us today. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help each one of us, Lord, to walk in the light, that you help each one of us, Lord, in our walk with you, that we may always abide in you, O Lord, that we may, Lord, continue to become more and more like you, O Jesus, that we may seek to become more and more like you. I pray, O Lord, that this desire in our heart, Lord, to resemble you, Lord, we continue to grow every day in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, that we may continue to believe in you, that the eyes of our heart, Lord, may always be open. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for transforming our lives. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. We are prayed. Amen.